Now listen to the Chapel Platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. For more than 70 years, from humble to bold, God has used many of his servants to keep the Chapel Platform hot. Today we feature the pastor of Fairfax Baptist Temple in Fairfax, Virginia, Dr. Bud Calvert. This is a message appropriate for Independence Day, talking about our true need in Christ. He spoke at the University Chapel Service on Tuesday, November 3, 1987. His text is Numbers chapter 11, verses 26 through 30. His message is titled, The Greatest Need of America Today.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 11, for our text this morning. The book of Numbers, chapter 11. I want to give some thought this morning to what I think might be one of the greatest needs that our country has today. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11, I'd like to start reading in verse 26. In verse 26, the Bible says, But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. They were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of thy word now. Speak to our hearts. May each one of us, Lord, I pray, respond to thy Holy Spirit through the word of God and its ministry today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. America has many great needs and problems today. There's moral decline that is unprecedented in American history, and we can all see that. Homes are crumbling as never before, not just in the unsaved homes, but even in those who are saved and love the Lord. Political manipulation is hindering conservative appointments to the Supreme Court bench. Good churches and good preachers are being knocked out with popularity and compromise to the Word of God. The stock market is in its most volatile position ever, and that's a great problem. Students are still failing tests. That's a great problem in America today. And I'm sure many of us have been through. And there are other tremendous problems that we face in our country today. But what is the greatest need? What is it that we're really facing today as a problem that we have to address, or that we could actually do something about it? You know, sometimes you have a difficult time in class just being able to pass the test and to get along well. I remember one time I was attending summer school. I only had the courage to do that one time. But I attended summer school, and it was one of those hot days and didn't have the air conditioning. And I had been working most of the night, and I had a family and my wife and son living off campus. And oftentimes, I would come into that class, and that's when I would do my meditating. And while I was meditating in class and having a difficult time sometimes to stay awake, I remember at the end of the class, somehow at the end of that several weeks that we had in concentrated study that summer, a three-week-long session, somehow I was able to get a B out of the class. And I remember the teacher, when I went up, came up to me afterwards and said, Mr. Calvert, realize that in my years of teaching, you have received the highest grade by way of osmosis of any student I've ever had. And I was so thankful to achieve such a wonderful record as that. But you know, there are a lot of needs and difficulties that we have to face and that you face. And you're right at the thrust of the greatest opportunities of your life. You have made a very important decision in life about being in school and studying and preparing your life to be a servant of God. But what will you be when you graduate from these halls and be able to go out into the world to work for the Lord, what will you really do? What really is the greatest need? What could you do? And seeking to fulfill and help out with some of the needs that we have in our country. In our text, and just prior to our text, Moses was talking about some of the problems that he was facing. And he had just heard the people complaining and griping because they didn't have enough to eat. They were reminded of the melons and the leeks and the okra. I'm sure that was in there, and a few other things they had when they were back in Egypt. But now they were delivered from Egypt, and they didn't have everything as nice as they once had it. And so Moses was concerned, and he was saying, Lord, I don't know if I can take the burdens and the pressures of all these people that I have to deal with now. So God said, all right, you select out 70 men, the elders, good men, and I'll take the spirit that's upon you and put it on these 70, and they'll help you and help to carry the burden that you have. And so he did that. There was a time of gathering of Moses down by the tabernacle, and he was meeting there, and God was working in their lives, and Moses got the help, 70 helpers there. But then, sure enough, while he was there with these people in a very spiritual time, one of the young men came running up to Moses, and I can just picture him now panting as he was coming up, and he said, Moses, Moses, he said, back in camp, he said, there are two fellows still back there, me, Dad, and Eldad, and they're back there preaching and prophesying, and we've got to stop them. About that time, one of Moses' greatest assistants, the greatest he ever had, Joshua, seeking to stop this seemingly renegades that were back there in the camp prophesying and proclaiming the word and preaching. And Joshua came up and he said, Moses, please forbid that these two fellows should be back here preaching in the camp and prophesying. Let's stop them. Let's get them to come into our little union and our group. We don't want them out there being fanatical as they are and prophesying and preaching and making a fool of themselves. They need to be here in our ministerial association and get the flavor of what we're doing. And knowing that Moses was going to be well pleased with what Joshua said, Joshua, I think, kind of stood back a little bit saying, boy, I was a good helper there to Moses, my leader. And Moses came back in verse 29. And here's what I'd like you to look at and even underline in your Bible this morning, where he said, Moses said to him, envious thou for my sake? He said, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. There was a time when I used to think, I'm going to just sit back and let God do some working and leading somewhere along the line for the Lord to be able to call some men out and some boys out from our church and to be able to see them go into the ministry. And then I read this passage of Scripture one time and I looked at that and I said, Lord, that's what my heart is. That's what the real need of our country is. That's what the need of our world is. Would God the Lord would put His Spirit upon everyone, and that all of the men of God and all of the children of God were prophets of God. Now, I don't mean the women. The women and the girls have to learn how to be quiet. But would God the Lord would put His Spirit upon all the men, and that every man and every boy and every male would say, Lord, I will go, and I will be that prophet for God. I will stand up and proclaim the blessed Word of God. I will be faithful, Lord, to Thee. I want to be used of God. Young people, without a doubt, the world's greatest need today is for fundamental Bible preachers to come and preach the Word of God in an uncompromising fashion to go out and tell more people about Jesus Christ. We need more churches started, more churches proclaiming the Word of God, more churches that have the power of God upon them and the Spirit of God on them, more churches responding to the call of God of world evangelization. The world stands in dire need of men and women to yield themselves to the call of God, to be used of God to help proclaim the Word and message of God. And you can be used of God. And the Lord can use you. And some of you right now are wondering, what should I be when I graduate? You say, I don't even worry about that. I'm just worrying about graduating, period. Well, even if you can think beyond that, what are you going to do in life? What will you do with your time and life and energy? How are you going to spend your life? What will you do? What will you young ladies do as you think about the opportunities that are given to you? God can greatly use you. The greatest need, I think, of all women today is to consider, would God have me to be a preacher's wife? And that certainly is a great need, because preachers need good, God-fearing, Spirit-filled ladies to go with them as they go out, men, to be able to preach and proclaim the Word of God. What would the Lord have for you to do in your life? How much of yourself are you honestly willing to give to God so that God can use you? You say, well, I've already established in my major, I'm already established in my mind what I want. I know what I want for my future. But my question is that exactly what God wants for you in your future? We live in a world of some 5 billion people, with the vast majority going to a Christless hell unless they hear about Jesus Christ and that He saves. Unless they have the opportunity of hearing someone proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is real and He's alive and He'll save. But how will the billion people in China hear the Word of God? Who is going to take it to them? How many good fundamental Bible preachers do you know of in the country of China? And most will respond, I don't know of any. And you know why you don't know of any? It's because there aren't that many to know of. 1 billion people. Who will go to the 780 million people in India? You say, well, that's not my concern. I'm a business major. That is your concern. It ought to be your concern. It's a concern of everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ. We must care, because it's up to fundamentalists to take heed to the Word of God, catch the burden of the Word of God, and say, Lord, I will go. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets of God. Who will go to the communist bloc countries? Who will go to Latin America? Who will go to Europe to carry the gospel? Who will go into Latin America and the Middle East and the Far East and Africa? Who will carry the Word of God? Who will go start the churches? This morning, and listen carefully, this morning, you need to make absolutely certain in your mind that God does not want you to go to the mission field. Say, so, wait a minute, I thought you had to make sure that God does want you to go. The Lord says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth, thrust forth labors into the harvest. Does God want you to go? Maybe you've never thought that much about it. Maybe you have. Maybe you just kind of put it aside. How are you going to respond to God in answer to the great needs that we have in this world in caring for them? What will you do? Say, well, I'll give money to it. That's not going to help. That's not all that it takes. It takes that, but it takes a whole lot more as well. But you say, I don't feel I've been called. Well, let me ask you something this morning. What does it feel like to be called? And if you don't know what it feels like to be called, how are you going to know if you get the feeling when the feeling does come, if the feeling is from God and the feeling that He wants you to feel? And you won't know. Because it's not a feeling. It's not the lightning bolt. It's not the great earth shaking that is there. It is not the direction that comes in your mind as to some outward circumstance that's going to happen. And I know I am called. Listen, I think it takes as great as much courage to find out that you're not called of God. But God is wanting to call people. And it is the Lord who does the calling, mind you. But God is wanting us to give ourselves over totally to God. I think one of the key things is simply learning how to be faithful. And every one of us must give an answer to God. Every one of you young men here this morning will have to give an account to God as to why you did not go to a mission field and be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of you will. Now, and I'd say, and a lot of you will have good, legitimate reasons, because God doesn't want you to, possibly. But I am saying you must be at the place where at least you are willing to go. Where you say, Lord, I'm willing to go. I yield myself. And I don't mean just surrender to the field of Hawaii. I'm not talking about that. I am saying, Lord, I'll go anywhere that you want me to go. I am willing to carry the gospel. Paul said to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. I think one of the things that God looks for in our lives is faithfulness. Young people, be faithful to everything God wants you to do. Be faithful to your classes. Be faithful in your studying. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be faithful in soul winning. Be faithful in church. Be faithful in your service to God. Be faithful. And Paul said, God counted me faithful. He enabled me, and he put me in the ministry. You say, but I just don't have that aspect and that opportunity. God can use you if you're just willing to go. But how serious are you about the Lord's work? How serious are you about the great commission that God has given the church to carry to the uttermost parts of the world? And God's program is the local church that He sends out, people out, to start the churches, to proclaim the good news, and to have that base there where people can be taught and fed the Word of God and used of the Lord. Are you sure that you have the right mind about it and the right thoughts about it? And are you really willing to go? Think about it. Does God want you to go? Are you willing to say, Lord, yes, I want to be one of the Lord's prophets or preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, there is no longer that office of prophet, as we know that once was. But I mean as a preacher of the Word of God, to be the evangelist missionary or the pastor to go out and start more churches. Are you really willing to go? Or do you have other things on your mind? Everyone has a responsibility to be involved in world evangelization. What is it, though, that stands in your way? Money? I'd like to make the money. Or the boyfriend or the girlfriend that you have? Or is it sports? Or is it some aspiration that you've always had? Now, I've always wanted to be this. What is it that may hold you back? Pride? Flesh? Unwillingness? Unyieldedness? Give your all. You ought to just say, Lord, that's what is exciting. And by the way, there is nothing any more exciting in the world than to be involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, to be involved in something God is involved in. And that is thrilling to the soul. It is exciting to be a pastor. It's exciting to be an evangelist missionary. It's exciting to be a Christian school teacher. It's exciting to be used of God in the work of the Lord. And that's where the real excitement, it is a thrilling and wonderful opportunity. I remember one time I saw a preacher that used to be in our area, and I hadn't seen him for a number of years. And I saw him a few years ago at a preacher's meeting. He came up to me, and we went through our introductions and seeing each other again, and he's a pastor. And he was telling me about how excited he was with his son. And I said, that's wonderful. And he was telling me about the Christian school they had and his son. And he said, you know, he said, my son is quite an athlete. I said, that's really wonderful. And he said, you know, my son is a star quarterback on the football team. I said, that's really wonderful. And he said, you know, my son is a good baseball player, and he is first string on the baseball team every spring at our school. And I said, that's wonderful. And he said, now I'm out, and my son and I are going right shortly in the next few weeks, and we're going around and looking at some of the different schools and find out about their sports program they have. Because, you know, my son's quite an athlete, and we're going to see what kind of scholarship that he might be able to get, because I know the Lord can really use him as an athlete and send him out. And this guy thought it was the greatest thing going, that his son was a great athlete. Not willing to be intimidated, I responded to that. I said, you know, remember my son Troy? Yeah. Said, my son's quite a preacher. I said, yeah, he's involved in our Christian school that we have, and he gets in the preaching and preaches there, studies his Bible and loves the Word of God. I said, my son's planning on being a missionary. I said, my son's planning on going down to Bob Jones University where he can study for the ministry so he can go out and talk to other people about the Lord and start new churches for Jesus Christ. Young people, your aspirations ought not to be on the things of the world, but on the things of God. That, Lord, whatever it is that God wants me to go in, whatever it is the Lord wants me to do, I'll do it with all of my heart. I'm simply saying, and there's nothing wrong with sports, I'm simply saying, make sure that your calling is from God. Not because your dad did it, not because that's what the other young people are doing in your church, not because that's the program to get involved in, not because that's the one I think that has the least amount of tests and is the easiest major to have. That's not the reason you get involved in it. It ought to be that we say, Lord, I want only your will, and only your will I be satisfied with, because I want to be used of God. We only have one life in this world. And as James says, our life appeareth but as a moment, as a vapor, and it's gone just that quickly. I remember as I sat where you sat, and I remember having one of the class I had on dealing with older adults. And we were finding out in the class about how to work with older adults in the church. And I was taking this class, and I had an elderly teacher that was teaching me at that time. And while he was teaching, I wound up having one of the greatest laughs of my career and 4 years as a student at BJU. And the teacher, as he was talking about the older adult, he was breaking things up into different groups and age groups. And in this class, I'll never forget it, because I went home immediately and told my wife, and I just laughed all the way home. But he was talking about young people. And this fellow was, when I said old, I mean he was an old teacher. But he identified himself as young. And this guy, and he called himself young, and he said, now the older people, after he said he was young, and that man was 35 years old. And he said he was young. And I laughed all the way out. 35 years old, that man's about ready for the grave. Now I realize the wisdom of my teachers back in those days. But I know now he was much wiser than I gave him credit for as a young man of 35 years of age. But listen, from your perspective, you may look and say, hey, I've got a long time to go and live. But you don't. Life is just such a short time compared to all of eternity. And it's only what you do for Jesus Christ that is genuinely going to count for our blessed Lord. And not only did Moses wish that all the Lord's people were prophets of God, but he also desired that God's Spirit would be upon them. And here's the key. Regardless of your calling, whether God wants you to go forth as evangelist, missionary, and plant new churches and start churches that are true to the Word of God and that are involved in world evangelization, or whether God wants you to be a school teacher or a businessman or a Christian wife, whatever it is that God is working in your life and doing in your life, the one thing for certain that we have to have is the power and Spirit of God upon us. We must allow the Lord to work in our life. And as it said here with Moses, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. Without the Spirit of God upon our lives, we will be of all men failures. We'll never make it. Oh, what a terrible thing it would be to do that which you do in the energy of the flesh. We must have the Spirit of the living God upon us and whatever it is that we're doing. Does God want you to go and preach? So I don't know if I can. I just don't have the ability. It doesn't take ability, as we've heard. It takes availability. Lord, I am willing if you'll just put your Spirit upon me and use me. We had a new convert in our church, a businessman, young man in his middle 30s. Been coming to our church for about a year or so. And he worked down the hall from another Christian businessman in our area in Fairfax, Virginia. And this fellow down the hall found out that this man had been saved and was coming to our church, and he did his best to try to get him out of our church. And the man said to the man who was coming to our church, and he said, you ought to come over and visit our church. And this fellow responded, oh, I like it, the Fairfax Baptist Temple, just fine. He said, no, but I mean, you ought to come to our church. It's really wonderful. He said, I think it's wonderful at the Fairfax Baptist Temple. He said, yeah, but you need to come and hear our pastor. He said, I like our pastor just fine. And the guy came back and said, yeah, but you ought to hear my pastor. He's really deep. The man responded, my pastor's deep enough for me. I understand what he is saying, and that's what I need. And then, to put the icing on the cake, and to know that he was going to put the bait out there to lure this fellow away from our church, he said, yeah. But he said, my pastor has a PhD. The man in our church responded right away, that's nothing. My pastor has a POG. And the guy said, what? He said, my pastor has a POG. My pastor has the power of God upon him. Hey, look. That works a whole lot better. I don't have anything against PhDs. And you can have them both, by the way. It is possible. You can have them both as well. But listen,
no matter what your education is, it won't help you that much without the Spirit of God and the power of God upon your life and upon your ministry. You must walk with God. And if you're just simply willing to say, Lord, please use me today. Please help me to be the best at what I need to be for God. But a whole world out here is lost and dying and going to hell. Please give it some thought. Are you certain this morning that God does not want you to go out as a missionary? Are you positive this morning that God can't use you as a church planter? Are you certain today that God doesn't want to send you out into the harvest field and to be involved in it in a greater way than ever before? Would all of you this morning just think, Lord, would you use me? And would you say to God today, Lord, I am willing to go. Lord, in fact, I would love to go. Lord, in fact, please move in my heart. Please help me to have it. And I think the one thing that just kind of overrides everything else and knowing in our heart before God is that overriding burden for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go about your studies and you go about your work and all of a sudden you keep thinking about souls dying and the needs in the other countries and the concerns that are out there, and oh Lord, you say, God, just help me to have the burden I need to win a lost and dying world to Jesus Christ, it may be that God's starting to work in your life. And as you leave here today, walk out and say, Lord, please use me if you can to go out into the mission field. Lord, help me. Use me to be a preacher if you want. Say, yeah, but I can't. I'm already a third-year student. I'm already a senior. I'm in my major. I'm there. No, listen. Moses was 80 years of age before he got that calling and direction from God. The Apostle Paul was 40 years of age before he got turned around and went out to be greatly used of God. No matter who you are, no matter how far along you are, no matter what career you may be going after, you must ask yourself and consider, does God want me to go in the ministry? And are you certain that He doesn't? Think about it and say, Lord, if He's leading in your life, say, God, here's my life. I'll make the change today if need be. Last year, my wife and I had the opportunity of going to visit several countries in Central America. We went down to see some of our missionaries in the churches that they had started and had an opportunity to preach. And while we were there in Guatemala City in Central America, we had been out that day and saw some of the buildings that they had, went that night and preached at one of our missionaries' churches. We came back to the house, and my wife and I enjoy taking walks, so we thought, we just want to go out. It's a beautiful day. In Guatemala, they call it the land of eternal springtime. It's always spring-type weather year-round in Guatemala. So I asked the missionary, I said, is it making a difference which way we walk? He said, no, anywhere is fine. And I said, great. So we went out, and being an ex-reconnaissance person, I knew that I wasn't going to get lost, so I was going to go straight down and make straight turns when we got ready to go into another block. So we went out of the house. We went down two blocks, turned right, went another block, and it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And we were strolling along, just having an enjoyable time together. And we got down the ways. We turned around and started coming back. We're walking back down this street. We're on the sidewalk. In Guatemala, they had there was a street out here, then a little strip, grass strip, and then a sidewalk. And then they had the walls in front of all the houses, and they were like just row houses, which is typical in Central America, South America, and Asia as well. But they had one house after another, all adjoining, and each house had a wall up, like we would sometimes, fences, but they all have the concrete walls to keep people out. And so here was a street. Here was a little grass area of about 2 or 3 feet. Here was a sidewalk. And here were these walls. And there's a street. I was walking between the street and my wife, and we were strolling along. And then I heard this little wing-ding type motorcycle coming up from behind us. And this guy was coming along on his motorcycle, and you heard it, you know, wing-ding-ding-ding, and you heard he's really making time. And then he started slowing down. I thought, well, he must live in one of these homes to my right, and he's going to probably pull in here and go into his, unlock his gate and pull into his driveway. And I heard the motorcycle slowing down even more. And it came down to about a stop, and I thought, well, he's going to cut right in front of us. But then he came down, and it did stop. And the man said to me, Buenas noches, señor. And that is good evening, and that's the only phrase I know in Spanish. And so I started thinking, I told my wife real quickly, I said, I'm not going to respond to him, because if I do, he'll think I know Spanish, and we'll try to engage in a conversation, then I'll just look like a dummy. I won't say anything, and that will be embarrassing. So I'm just not going to answer him. So I walked another step or two, and he said, "Buenas noches." I thought, hey, this guy's serious. He wants to say hello. And so I was going to whip out my Spanish on him and respond to him. So as I was walking down, I turned to him and I said, "Buenas noches." And as soon as I turned around to him, and he came right up to the curb, and he was about 3 or 4 feet from me. As soon as I turned around to him, he was standing there like that with a gun at me. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I had a number of things run through my mind. You know, you figure if you ever get held up, you think through. I knew right away. I'd practice it. You know, living in the Washington, D.C. area, you have to go this every now and then. And I practice this in my mind. I'll give him my watch. I'll pull my wallet out. I'll take my shoes off. I'll give him anything he wants, you know. And you go through that if it ever happened. But all I could think about was I had my passport, and I had to leave the next morning to Honduras. And I knew if I didn't have the passport, I couldn't get on the airplane. So I just looked at him, and I said, "I don't have any," in English. And I was hoping that that would suffice it. And he's still there with the gun. And there was two of them, one holding the cycle and the other one behind the seat. He was the one with the gun. I said, "I don't have any." And I took off and ran for my life. And I thought, I better go back and get my wife. So I went back real fast. I got my wife. And then we took off running. I really didn't leave her, but we took off running as fast as we could, expecting any time to hear that crack and to feel it right in the back. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. But the guardian angels I know watched over me, and we made it just fine and got away from there. And God, I figured the fellow must have thought, you know, stupido Americano or something. I don't know what he thought, but it worked it out where we got away just fine and made it. But just like that, my life ran past my mind. My wife and I came back to that missionary's home, and we started thinking, we came that close last year, stepping out into eternity. And I thought, oh my, how important it is to do my best for Jesus every day of my life. Young people, God can use you. And right now, does God want you to be a prophet of God? Are you willing to? Are you willing to go? Does God want to use you in the work of the Lord, dedicated to God's work? And if so, say to Him this morning, "Yes, Lord. Call me to the ministry. Use me, O God. And Lord, above everything else, put Your Spirit upon me." There is only one step between you and eternity. Make sure you're walking with God, for then you'll have no regrets. Let's all stand together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, along with Moses, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets of God, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. Dear God, this morning I pray that for all those men that right now, Lord, are thinking about the needs of this world, God, I pray it might be Your desire, Lord, to call them even now to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help them, I pray, to be willing to make the change and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." Help every young lady in here to consider, "Lord, could You use me on a mission field as a preacher's wife, as a servant of God?" Lord, help us to be willing to respond to God's leadership in our lives even this day. And may every step we take this day on campus, may we think about the needs of this world and what we're doing to help meet them. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Bud Calvert, the title, "The Greatest Need of America Today," and today's date. Join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.